Greetings and welcome to the Cathartic Yardstick with your hosts, Ray and Mark. In this episode, your intrepid hosts make daring predictions about 2019. You know, making good predictions is actually pretty hard, particularly when it involves the future. But we've seen the future, and we've concluded it's a lot like the present, only longer.
Well, welcome to a special predictions edition of the Cathartic Yardstick podcast. I'm Ray, and joining me in the podcast lounge is Elise.
Hello.
Hi, Elise. And as always, Mark is here in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
South of the border. Here me am. Hi, Elise.
Hello. You know, it's good to be here in my former childhood bedroom turned podcast studio.
What does that mean when you move out and they turn your room into a podcast studio?
You
it's like my dad's gone insane.
I think it's something growing up that I don't think podcasts existed that I could have even imagined or predicted.
You have to admit that the aging process has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like used to be you'd move out and you watch your parents just kind of like slow down and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now they move all your stuff out of your room and turn it into a podcast lounge.
Yeah, it's got a new hobby.
They listen to Doris Day, apparently.
And the furniture is so much better than what used to be in here. We spared no expense when we redid it.
That's right. What's in it for you, Dad?
That's right.
I know. I feel like I'm in a boutique hotel now. There's no more like tiny forest creatures on the wallpaper. There's no wallpaper anymore. There's wood flooring, not a mint green carpeting that my sister and I had picked out. So,
yeah, of course, I always had that dad line when I'd walk in after they'd clean the room and I'd say, oh, the carpet's green in here.
Worked every time. Funny.
Always funny.
You are a laugh riot, sir.
All right. Well, we have a bit of a family history with predictions around the first of the year. And it started right after I got out of college. Was often up late at night and was listening to the old Art Bell Coast to Coast. And every New Year's Eve, he'd have on psychics and they'd give their predictions for the year. And I remember one year thinking, well, they give all these predictions, but they never check them. They never like go back to last year's show and see what was predicted to see if
we should do that.
We should do that.
No, we should. 1 year from tonight, we should go back and listen to the predictions we make tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
And see the uncanny high percentage of spot on predictions we have.
Yeah. So after that, we started getting, we'd buy the National Enquirer right around Christmas time that had predictions in it. We wouldn't read them. We just put them in an envelope, seal it, and put it in the bottom of a file cabinet, and we'd take it out the next New Year's Eve to see how close they were. And invariably, none of them came true.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they weren't even close on anything. So in that tradition, we're going to
give... Until tonight.
That's right. We're giving our predictions, except these will be accurate. These will be spot on.
100%.
They'll be uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
We will be scared 1 year from tonight. We'll say, how did we do it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We may be banned from doing these ever again.
Wow.
It's too
dangerous. Must have been Doris Day.
That's right. Men in Black will show up at our door and encourage us not to do this again.
We'll forget it all.
Bob Lazar.
Will be erased.
Yes. All right. So we have kind of a little outline, but feel free to, you know, if you feel particularly inspired to jump off and say anything. But for politics, United States, what are our predictions?
Our call-in number west of the Rockies is...
And on the wild card line.
You know, when I was getting ready for this podcast this week, I was really stuck because I feel like there really is no way to actually predict the future. I think as much as we think we know, we only have our perspective and it leaves out so much. And so although I did fill out all my predictions for the other categories, I feel like right now, it's really anybody's game with U.S. politics and there's no possible way I could even imagine what the factors are even next week.
Really?
I think so personally.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to wade in and say that Trump will resign early in 2019 rather than let his tax returns be released. Because the two things he fears the most are tax returns and getting his hair wet.
Yes. And it's been raining a lot.
It has. Yeah, I think we're in for a rough season.
My predictions on politics are twofold. Mm-hmm. One, Dennis Rodman returns to Korea.
Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You want to get something done, you send the worm.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, more serious one, and I don't know that it's going to happen in 2019, but I think it's a phenomenon to watch that I'm keeping my fingers crossed on. In the 2000 election that was so close, I thought for sure one healthy outcome of it was that the parties would quit playing to their base and they'd realize the power lies in the middle. So I said, you get a bunch of centrists in there and you're going to get some stuff done. And little did I know, all it was the impetus to triple down on everybody's base. And so it's been bizarro land ever since and getting worse. So my prediction for 2019 is that people will become fatigued of the food fight and watch an entity known as the Problem Solvers Caucus. And I don't know if you've been following them, but it's basically, I mean, there are hardly any Blue Dog Democrats anymore or liberal Rockefeller type Republicans anymore. But it's a group of Democrats and Republicans who basically pledge to work across the aisle on as many issues as they possibly can. So watch the Problem Solvers Caucus to see when the public is fed up, and you may see the next generation of politicians arising out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great prediction. I always think of the lesson that we learned in school, looking at the French Revolution, that things kind of always swing back towards the middle, that you'll go, you know, from one extreme to the other. So I think I feel like it's inevitable the direction that the energy will go.
Yeah, I think in many ways, 2019 is going to be a reactionary year.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of groundwork was set this year. It's going to be a reactionary year. 2020 will be more of a rebuilding year. I had a couple other things for U.S. politics. I think the push for Medicare for All is going to continue to gain momentum.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of when like Bernie Sanders started talking about it, it was kind of a way out in left field, excuse the pun, idea. But I think it's going to continue to gain momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And Beto O'Rourke will be the clear front runner for president.
We're doing world.
World.
Expanding our horizon. I think for the world, you know, there's been so much stalling around Brexit. And with the British government, I feel like we're going to see a flip there, too. I don't know enough about British politics to know if they can overturn Brexit with a vote. But I feel like there's just been so much stalling and it seems like a complete loss across the board that I can't imagine that going away, that plan going away, since no one can seem to come up with a plan to actually do it.
Yeah. And I don't think Brexit's going to happen just because the European Union is going out of their way to make it unattractive to Britain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to come to terms. And like I said, I don't really understand the British political system. It's kind of convoluted compared to what we have. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess ours is pretty convoluted too.
But, right. But we're used to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't see that happening.
I'm not sure it's a prediction or not, but one thing I've been very curious about, and we may see a sign of it in 2019, is my theory is the movement of populism that happened in Europe, it happened here. I'm wondering if, with historical hindsight, we're going to see that the Arab Spring was part of it. It's part of the transition into the new millennium and internet, passage of information and reacting, you know, tradition as it flies into the face of the future. We haven't caught up with the millennium yet. So what I'm wondering is whether we're going to find that all these movements are tied together and they will rise or fall or react in similar ways because they're all tied together.
Do you imagine that there's an actual entity behind them that is tying them together, or just a cultural shift?
I think it's human beings going through a similar process in different societies, and so they react as humans do. But I think we're right now we view them as separate things, and I think they're very much tied together because it's just human nature. But I think people will start connecting the dots.
By entities, you mean like the Illuminati?
The Illuminati, Facebook.
Knights Templar. Yeah.
The Smoky Man from the X-Files.
Yes.
Shall we move on to weightier issues?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we got to get serious.
All right. So celebrity breakups.
I mean, I think 2019 is not going to see any momentum lost on our obsession with Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson. Either there any possible interaction that they have between the two of them, anyone that they possibly date, any tweet or Instagram post or whatever. I think we are going to continue to see this. Even though Pete Davidson, although he is certainly a big celebrity in our home as SNL fans, was not a household name. I think he is, and he's kind of been elevated to a Kevin Federline status after Britney Spears breakup. Someone that was, you know, not beloved by America, but kind of as a stand-in for maybe a ex that you're glad someone broke up with. And I think we're going to continue to be obsessed with them.
Mm-hmm. I think 2019 is not looking good for the Jonas Brothers.
No.
I think,
he just got married.
I think there's going to be some tough waters ahead for Nick and Priyanka.
You think so? Do you think like an age difference, a cultural difference?
I think move too fast. They're just it's just going to hit them. They're just going to get caught up. Not necessarily they'll split up, but I think they're in for some rough waters.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that they have the tools to work it out. They do seem like, I feel like they've got good families behind them. I don't know. They just seem like down to earth people, even though they're, you know, millionaire celebrities. But
yeah.
Oh man, I was really taken by them. I was kind of late to the game. Not that they've been a popular couple or public couple for a long time, but pretty swept up quickly in their wedding photos and videos. I mean, I have a long time Jonas Brothers fandom deep inside me, so I was excited that Nick was doing a lot publicly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner will break up.
Okay, they're not married yet, right? They're just engaged.
Are they engaged?
I'm pretty sure. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I you know, after Game of Thrones is over, it's all bets are off.
Yeah, yeah. You think she'll go on whatever her next project is? Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know that we have a Kardashian topic, but the Kardashians cannot be constrained to one topic. You can't confine them to one area.
No, they're everywhere.
In terms of celebrity breakups, I'm sorry to be carrier of bad news here.
I can feel this coming.
But I'm watching a couple things here. I'm watching Kylie and Travis Scott because the standard Kardashian formula is pregnancy plus 365 days equals breakup. But that's better than Kim's like 75 days or whatever it was. Same thing happened to 45. Same thing happened to Rob and China, you know? So I'm watching Kylie and Travis Scott. And also, of course, there's Chloe and Tristan Thompson because he cheated on her.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think with Kylie, do you think there'll be a promised reality show that doesn't come to fruition first? And it'll be, that's what happened, you know, with Rob and China. So do you think they'll move into that or do you think it'll just kind of fizzle out?
They may delay their breakup so they can do it on air.
Yes. I mean, if you're, why break up if you can't benefit from it?
Break up for ratings. Uh-huh. Really. That's it.
Could be.
No
Could
better
be.
Reason.
Could be.
Justin Bieber, too, just got married. So kind of watching that, too. That was very quick. Kind of just happened over the summer.
Yep.
You scared me when you said Justin Bieber, too, because I can't catch up with the first one. So I was hoping there wasn't another. Oh, yes. No.
All right. And I had one more on the list. I had Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes.
Ooh.
Yeah. That doesn't... Another thing that kind of happened quick. And
yeah.
I don't see that being long term. But who knows? It's just what I'm feeling. It's what the stars are telling me.
Yeah, yeah. When you meditate it, that's what
that's
came
it.
To you
yes,
in your vision.
in a fever dream.
Yes. Oh, man. Should we roll right into Kardashian predictions since we're already talking about them?
Why don't we go right to Kardashians?
Well, I don't know how every episode of this podcast isn't just Kardashians.
It could
but
be.
But I'm glad it's back, and I'm glad I'm back for it.
Well, that's good.
My thought for the Kardashians is, so they have a lot of products. I mean, and probably more than we're even aware of, things that they have their hand in financially or that they endorse, you know, clothing, diet supplements, shapewear, beauty products. I mean, certainly like Kylie's lip kit has made her an almost billionaire.
What is the lip kit? I don't know what that is.
The lip kit, it's matte liquid lipstick that comes in all different colors, very vibrant colors. There's some nudes as well. So the lip kit is really just like a couple of matte liquid lipsticks. There's also metallics and some shine.
Do they have a plumper?
No.
My lips tend to be kind of small.
You overline your lips. And that's what you can do with the mat. It really sticks on, so you can make
them
a larger
shape. You're
going
to have to
show
me that because...
Yeah, maybe this could be like a video tutorial that goes along with the podcast. Mm. I don't. I did have a like high-end makeup phase of my life, but it ended just shortly before the Kylie lip kits came out. So I think for the Kardashians, I think we're going to see, you know, we shockingly have not seen a Kardashian diet. No, we've seen like... eat like the Kardashians, and certainly all of them follow special diets, but a Kardashian branded, and it's essential that there's a product to buy, containers that you need or like some kind of supplements. They've endorsed a lot of things, but they have not come out with their own branded one, which is shocking. And I think we're going to see something like that.
I think the only problem is going to be you lose it in the middle and you gain it in back.
That is very true.
It doesn't. So it's not much weight loss. It's weight transportation and movement.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know what? One I'm really excited to talk about is the next reality show premise.
All right. I've got some stuff for that.
Okay. Because I think we're certainly going to keep seeing more of them, and I'd like to see what you guys think we're going to see.
Okay. My prediction for a reality show premise is called "My Commute Sucks." Each week, cameras follow the commute of different individuals as they sit snarled in traffic. You get to feel the frustration as you watch their actual commutes in real time.
I think that's brilliant. I don't know how that's not a show already. It reminds me of the slow TV trend that's happening, I think, in Norway, where they're just filming regular things like train rides, and you just see the whole thing. And I think it feels... cathartic to watch other people's.
that would be fun. my thought is have a reality show called The Amazon Challenge: Track My Package. see if they can get it to you fast enough when they hand it off to the USPS to actually make your Prime membership worth it. And if you've tracked your package, you know how frustrating it can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is it UPS? Oh, they handed it off to the Postal Service. Good Lord. Oh, no. It's going to be measured in geologic time now, if it's not lost.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking, you know, they have the, like, Married at First Sight kind of shows where they just have the shortest amount of time that you could possibly meet someone, and then you're married and living with them. And I thought, like, what could you do to make that even more extreme? Like, what if you didn't see them at all? What if you got married, but the whole room was dark and their voice was changed? Like, every factor was not real, but you still had to marry them. Would watch, and it was like in night vision, which I think adds a whole like kind of cops true crime feel to it. And so I think that mashup of genres would really work.
What about I think that's great. I mean, what about having a twist on an arranged marriage, mm-hmm. and have a show like The Bachelor, but it's audience call-in, and basically they're picking who your spouse is going to be. And then what happens is cameras follow them to see whether the public had any clue putting these two together, whether they were a good match or a bad match.
I feel like that might be a show already.
There you go. Oh,
no.
I don't watch this stuff
there
because
there are
no new ideas.
I can't remember what it was. I know that there was some show where it was like a game show, but then they got married at the end of it. But I don't remember if the what the audience participation was.
They don't have one called Track My Package, do they?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I still got one in the running.
All right. Reboots?
Oh, yeah. Reboots.
I've got three possibilities here. One is a reboot of Mr. Ed. Another couple are you would think, oh, they're not going to mess with a classic. Well, of course they are if they think there's cash in it. So the two more dangerous possibilities would be a remake of Gone with the Wind or Breakfast at Tiffany's. And if it's Breakfast at Tiffany's, it'll be a disaster probably.
Yeah.
But those are two possible big money things to reboot.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And I think you've got some work to do if you're doing either of those things with the portrayal of non-white characters.
That's right.
Yes.
And I think that could be, yeah, that could do some good in the world to have a positive portrayal in both of those movies.
I think you might also see at some point Back to the Future.
Yeah. You know, that's actually really shocking that we haven't seen that yet.
Because Doc Brown had two kids and Marty had two kids. So you got the next generation set up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I feel like we've seen a lot of reboots of like late or early 90s type of things. We've seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then we've seen like Fuller House now on Netflix. And it's kind of surprising that all of those like, you know, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink kind of things haven't had remakes yet. It feels like a pretty obvious thing to do. And I don't think it's like too soon to do it since we've redone things that have come out after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think for TV and movies that might happen kind of going along with that, like 90s redos, something like with a strong female lead like Xena or Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman or even Little House on the Prairie, something like that. And I think there were talks for possibly redoing Xena at some point, but I feel like there's interesting ways that you could redo that and make it interesting and relevant for today's audience.
Yeah, it was a surprise hit, Xena. And if you watch the first couple episodes, it's not great, but they just kind of found their groove as the show went on.
Yeah, and I think if they do it well, there's still such a strong, loyal following of people who are in active communities online and people who still really like identify with the characters, that if you did it right, you'd have your built-in base already.
Mm-hmm. All right. Want to just hit stuff at random here?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, to share our favorite ones that we came up with?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Do you have one you want to start with?
You had a song of the summer. I think it's probably going to be Taylor Swift because she's due to come out with a new album soon.
Yes. I was thinking Beyonce. Beyonce has been kind of on a every 2 years releasing a big album. And so I thought maybe she would give us something or Miley, either one of those.
I was thinking Cardi B.
Oh, she had last year's Song of the Summer, but she could do two songs in a row.
And on a non-serious level, Lindsey Buckingham will get back together with Fleetwood Max because he can't take the bad puns about going his own way anymore.
It's been too long. Yes. 2018 just had one too many.
Yes.
You ever wonder what he really did to get booted like that? Something with Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, they didn't really say. I mean, he did win a lawsuit, but we don't know.
But I think that's where the trouble lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, how do you know somebody for like 50 years or 45 years or whatever, and then suddenly there's a deal breaker? I mean, like your dad could pull just about anything, and I'd probably roll my eyes and go, that's Ray, you know, just because we've known each other for so long. And so...
Yeah.
What could you possibly do to say, well, now you've burned that bridge?
Right. I feel like the only way those things happen is if somehow someone else is in your life that you completely trust in, or maybe has too controlling a reach over you, who kind of says, like, this person isn't good in your life anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That it's not coming from you. It's coming from some outside thing.
So is one of the predictions that we'll find out what really happened to get him out of the group?
Oh, do you think they could, like, auction it off? Like they did for the rights to know who You're So Vain is about?
It could be. This could be the new centuries thing.
Yeah.
And what, there are two, this is a total segue, but there, you know, you mentioned You're So Vain, mm-hmm. which brings up Carly Simon lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I find two things interesting about Carly Simon lyrics that you just wouldn't find anywhere else. You watched yourself in the mirror as you watched yourself gavotte. I mean, who uses the word gavotte in a song? And then, you know, that song she has about, you know, I think it's time we moved in together, right? You know, they talk about her friends. They're all married now. They have their houses and their lawns. I thought she was saying they have their houses and their lives. The lyrics are, they have their houses and their lawns. I'm thinking, who works a lawn into a song? Carly Simon. So, okay. So anyways, but that's my observation, which is off track.
It's a specific priority that she has.
Yes.
This could be a topic for another podcast, Carly Simon lyrics.
And for a biopic, it's got to be Stan Lee.
Oh, so
gotta do a
yeah.
Stan Lee
that's
biopic.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking Cesar Chavez. I thought he would be a good one to have a biopic. And I feel like, you know, with all the talk about immigration and migrant workers and things like that, he would fit right into that. Stan Lee, certainly, though, with all of the Marvel movie momentum behind it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Elise. I'll tell you, my joke biopic was going to be Millard Fillmore. He was 13th president of the United States and the last of the Whig Party to serve as president. So that was my tongue-in-cheek suggestion for a biopic. But I basically said, okay, so 2019, people typically get reflective, 50 years, what was going on 50 years ago, 69. So I was thinking Neil Armstrong, and I was thinking Cesar Chavez. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. and then also we were talking about, you know, whether it's going to lead into strong, like, women's liberation movement, because mm-hmm. all that was really started in the late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. you know, so... So it's going to be something out of that.
Yeah.
For biopics.
I agree.
And for fads, Fortnite.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh. Shoot me now.
I will.
I will. Fortnite. And you can.
I'd be happy to. You know, it's funny. I started researching Fortnite for a podcast because I kind of had proposed that we play Fortnite together and, mm-hmm. and record it. And I played it one time, didn't really like it, didn't really get it, mm-hmm. didn't play it for a couple days. And then I found myself playing it more and more, and I've inadvertently gotten hooked on it. I need an intervention.
Oh, no.
I was telling your dad. There's a funny. I thought it was a funny backstory, but he was asking me about, you know, maybe a podcast where we play Fortnite, and I said, "Oh man, you don't realize the thread you're pulling here." I had forgotten, but I have this other friend of mine I've had since high school, and I had forgotten. But about 18 months ago, he suggested to me. He said, "Let's do a podcast." And I remember at the time I found the idea of a podcast kind of intriguing, but I know the banter that he and I have, and he and I have always gotten a chuckle out of it. But I'm just thinking to myself, it's not going to have that kind of applicability to a broader audience, and it's not going to have staying power. And so I just never pursued a podcast. So you fast forward and... he hears I'm doing a podcast with your dad, and it's sort of like, oh, you didn't do one with me.
Oh, no.
Right? And then he starts texting me saying, we need to play Fortnite. we need to play Fortnite. We need to play Fortnite. I'm saying, come on. No, I'm not interested. And then I told your dad, if I not only did the podcast with you, but I also played Fortnite with you, we'd have to fish this guy off a bridge somewhere, you know? Yeah. Poor guy.
All right. Anything else anyone's got?
Yes, I do. I have a couple of thoughts on possible fads. In 2019, one is counting how many times the Kardashians say like or literally, right? Mm-hmm. Or possibly lampshading, which is a new Ariana Grande thing where you wear the sweatshirt with no pants. And also like a real high ponytail. They could apparently call it lampshading. So I'm thinking perhaps lampshading will be a fad.
I had some fashion fad predictions as well. Thinking we've seen a lot of things from the 90s come back into fashion, but we haven't really seen slip dresses come back yet. And so I think that might be something that we see more of. And I think continuing on upscale fanny packs, calling them belt bags is how they're selling them. So it doesn't sound like you're wearing a fanny pack, but it is. And I think we're going to continue to see that.
Don't ruin the Christmas present I got for your dad.
They're very handy. I got one for vacation. And I was like, I see why people use these. They're great. No hands.
I just had this horrible thought about the Kardashian fanny pack, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. But the word Samsonite came to mind. I'm not going to say it. Oh, the cathartic yardstick versus the state of California. Ray's been trying to get that mute button for me. It's the 7-second delay, but we just can't make it work. I thought in the area of science, 2019 may be the year that there's early results that come in on ion or warp drive that actually for the first time make the concept of deep space travel plausible.
Ooh.
Mm.
Okay.
Eh?
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, go down. You sounded like you had a list. I want to hear all of them.
Markalepsy.
Yeah, that's right. At worst, you'll develop markalepsy. So my predictions for technology. Androids may start pulling ahead of the iPhone because of the combination between price problems, quality problems, greed problems. Yeah, okay, another technology prediction. Electric and hybrid cars will start going mainstream because of drops in prices. And also, the most predictable thing, I think we're going to see our first e-privacy rules, but dealing with the use of cookies, things like that. We're going to see a big movement on e-privacy.
Mm-hmm. I think along with the electric car going mainstream, but I think we're going to see Tesla fall just as a business. I feel like there's been too much going on with Elon Musk in the public eye and their shoddy practices. I think there's kind of the veil has been lifted. They were kind of held up as this perfect answer for the future about what transportation is going to look like. And I think we don't think that anymore.
Well, did you see he drove a car in a tunnel? This was supposed to be the new transportation system. They demoed it last week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I
saw the animation.
Yeah, and it just looked like a car driving in a tunnel. I mean, it was nothing earth-shattering.
Yeah, I think his failing is that we have too much access to him, that if he could remain kind of the, you know, like the man behind the curtain, you know, we could keep him as this mystical genius, you know, who's inventing things. And instead we just get his Twitter feed with his live thoughts and it's not helping him.
Right, accusing total strangers of being pedophiles.
Yeah. Like, where did that come from?
Because they didn't like his inventions.
Right.
Now with cars, I will make one observation. And I have no idea statistically what relevance it has. Maybe none. But one interesting thing about being in Northern Virginia and outside the DC Beltway, and I have no idea if this is happening in upstate New York or not, but there's big money places locally, whether they're attorneys, corporate types, I don't know. But this is one of the few places where I will see Lamborghinis regularly, Ferraris regularly. I mean, really high-end cars. And one thing that's been amazing is of late, I see Teslas all the time. And I thought it was really cool. So I don't know if that's an indication of they're starting to break through. Mm-hmm. Or whether, no, it's the market's getting saturated. But I will say that I'm seeing more.
Yeah, I did see my first one driving through upstate New York probably about a month ago. So certainly if they've reached here, not that we're that far out. But, you know, there's not necessarily a lot of big money corporations here. So,
did you have technology predictions, Ray, or did you get them already?
I was thinking there's going to be a bit of a smartphone. There's going to be a bit of a smartphone
cigar box.
There's going to be a smartphone backlash. I think it's going to come out that the phones are actually collecting much more information than you think they are, and that mm-hmm. information is being sold, much like the revelations about Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to leave open the possibility for something like a kind of a hipster version of a smartphone that won't have any cell data, won't have any data at all. It'll just be a very high quality phone, very high quality camera, maybe GPS, calendar, a couple things like that, but it mm-hmm. won't have an active internet connection at all times.
I cannot believe you said that, because interestingly, I have a couple of other references and other possible topics, but one topic I was thinking of based on our earlier conversations were what new features are they going to use to try to sell new phones? Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of thoughts. You know, one is gaming smartphones, because those are new. I don't know if they're going to catch on or not. You know, phones that specialize in group FaceTime, although there's apps for that, I think. But one of the predictions was that people are into aesthetics and cool things over function. And so there may be a retro move back to flip phones.
Cigar box.
Millard Fillmore. What the hell, cheese?
That is actually what my prediction was as well for phones. I remember years ago I read this article on the back of Wired magazine that said everything that needs to be invented has been invented, and the only direction we have to go is to make things more aesthetically pleasing. And so I feel like at this point, the phone, I mean, I feel like the phone function of a phone at this point is an afterthought, and there's so many other things you can do. And so I think we're going to get back to the basics, back to maybe a flip phone or less features, and it's just going to be about making it more customizable and more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, a nice solid leather bound phone, kind of like a mm-hmm. switch.
Man, we are tired tonight.
The password is
like a Swiss watch. that kind of a phone. Yeah,
like high quality, bespoke. I mean, I think something, and certainly I think we don't see this in the phone and technology world because of the cost and production. But I think the direction that so much goes, like that other trends go into, is like local, handmade, artisan, for everything else in the world. And we don't see that for phones, but I feel like that's the only direction they could go in. They've gone in every other possible direction. And I think that's the direction we're headed into, a more artistic
and something that's less disposable, replaceable mm-hmm. battery, memory cards, mm-hmm. not like the iPhone that's just such a sealed unit.
Right. I feel like for a while it was always a joke that people made, like, oh, they make it so you have to buy another one. You know, they make the battery stop working, but then we've kind of discovered, like, they do.
Yeah.
And so now I think people are like, this isn't okay, that I'm going to spend $1,000 on a phone that's going to last me 2 years, that is totally wrecking the environment in terms of producing it. And I think there's only so long that they can coast on, like, you need to have a phone. You know, I think the FOMO is over and people are over it.
Yeah.
Now, once again, the thread that Elise puts out is uncanny, because we had a conversation here in the house. And I was talking to my girls, who are remarkably close in age to your girls. Mm-hmm. Go figure. Go class of 81. Go. But anyways, and what was interesting is my girls co-manage a store, and they've always been interested in business, and I'm sure that's where their professional pursuits are going to lead. But my daughter's thoughts are that in 2019, there's a trend away from big box stores, chains, franchises, in favor of individual boutique stores. Mm-hmm. And so I said, boutique stores like you'd have in Gohoes, New York in 1930? I mean, you know, people's family stores and general stores. She goes, yes, because people want that unique, they want to feel that they're catered to. Mm-hmm. And she says that thrifting may also get bigger. Apparently hipsters like to go thrifting.
They do. That is how I spend almost every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Bingo, see?
What happens when you run out of old stuff, though?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite things to do in thrift stores is kind of say, like, all right, this is what was going on in this area 20 years ago. It's like a time capsule. So it's true. We got to still be producing more stuff to get put in the thrift stores.
Now, did you say something about gaming phones? Tell me more. Ooh. Can you play Fortnite on those? I have to get one.
Stop it. Stop it.
Sorry.
Your Fortnite foolishness. Oh, my gosh. Besides myself, which is physically interesting to do. Okay, how about the next podcast to get converted to a TV show? I did like that one as well. Besides this one, this one's obvious, but I mean, this would be a quantum shift in Hollywood. I mean, is Limetown, are they doing a live action Limetown?
Yeah, they're doing it on Facebook Watch. It's going to be a Facebook TV show of Limetown. I was thinking, and maybe I feel like everything I thought of, I was like, this is probably already in production,
yeah.
But My Favorite Murderer or something along the like serial line or talking about like true crime. I think that's something that people really latch on to. I think it's easy to do as kind of a docudrama series. Netflix loves doing those type of things. And so I think... Yeah, that one maybe next.
I think what we should do in 2019 is we should start a podcast on scammers, email scammers with these outlandish ways to hook you. And what mm-hmm. we do is we just go after them, you know, and we'll talk about it in the podcast. And I think that would be a good podcast. But anyways, to be converted to a TV show. What's interesting is I have another prediction, but it'll be vice versa. It'll be what TV show gets converted to a podcast.
Ooh.
And it is the Hallmark Network. The Hallmark Network will get into podcasting when you add it up to here with Christmas on TV. You're going to get it on your cell phone.
Yes, yeah. That's brilliant.
Thank you. I am. Thank you.
Yeah, you can listen to it all day at work. It could be like kind of a radio drama,
yeah.
But just that kind of same formula about a woman who takes work too seriously, who visits a town that loves Christmas too much.
But it's a town she grew up in and then mm-hmm. meets the handyman. And mm-hmm. so the handyman who's working on her parents' house mm-hmm. versus the accountant she was going to marry in the big city.
Oh, but he's not nice and she's going to rethink it.
That's right. He's too materialistic. And she thinks back of her parents and her town. Or the ranch. Her parents' ranch is being sold.
Yes. Right? And she's got to save it and find out the true meaning.
By some unscrupulous, trying to be bought by some unscrupulous developers that want the water rights mm-hmm. and don't care about the ranch.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, Susan loves Hallmark. And so it's on all the time here, and I'm watching it. I'm basically going, is it me or is this the same movie with the same actors? And it's just you cross out ranch and you put in hotel, you know, but it's funny. I watch it. I like it. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the formula down and it kind of hooks you and it's an easy in. It doesn't take a lot of effort.
Here's a question for 2019. And it's one that just pops into my mind now. And it's one of marketing. Baby boomers are getting older. And so they have less market share because they have a bad habit of dying. And when you're dead man shopping, nobody markets to you. But what I'm noticing is a lot of TV shows that we really enjoy are, even though they're popular, they'll get canceled just because they don't fit the modern thing of it's got to be a reality show. So a show like Longmire will struggle. Yeah, but there's still good shows like Blue Bloods and things like that. So like Jesse Stone is another series that skews very old, but people really like it. It's well written. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, will marketing, TV marketing, media marketing to boomers continue to diminish, or will an aging population require more market share?
I think that TV networks are going to be so distracted by competing with streaming networks that I think all of their focus is going to be on how they can beat Netflix and Hulu and their original programming, and not even really worrying about what they're putting on, but just how, what kind of gimmicky things they can get.
So it'll be death by variety.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Or kind of like Fox News was trying to decrease the amount of commercial airtime that they have down to like 5 minutes or something like that over the next couple of years. Because when you're watching something like even Hulu that has commercials, it's still giving you a lot less commercial time than, you know, network television. So I think that's going to be the direction that they go in.
Anything else?
Have we run out of ideas?
No, I mean, I had one other thing. Under the category of sports, I had the prediction that the NBA starts making players sign agreements to not date Kardashians because they're going to destroy the NBA brand. But then I'm out of ideas after that, except check my package. There's potential there.
Yeah, I just had Tom Brady retire after next season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but that's not much of a prediction. I mean, it's kind of inevitable.
All right, my only last prediction that I had on here was a science one, and that we will get another big report from climate scientists that the world is going to end in the next 30 years, and we will swiftly ignore it. And I feel like these reports, when they come out, feel to me like when a doomsday cult predicts the end of the world. And it feels like there's no way they could be right, but I do feel like the climate scientists could be right and we should pay attention, but it's too scary too. So I think we'll continue to ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm feeling cathartic.
Yeah, and I'm feeling excited for 2019. Excited to watch some people sit in traffic.
You've been listening to the Cathartic Yardstick Podcast. Will these predictions happen? All signs point to yes.
Can I start this over?
Sure.
Yes. Yep. So it's radio. It's live.
We'll edit. Yeah.